At the top of our program today, despite recent state efforts to reduce bullying, a new report suggests it's still a problem in Michigan schools. On Monday, Wayne State University officials released data indicating half of students think bullying is a problem at their schools. Our next guest calls that finding unacceptable. John Austin is the president of the State Board of Education here in Michigan. The 8-member board is the general planning and coordinating body for public education in our state. John Austin, welcome back to Current State.
Good morning, Mark.
Before we get to school bullying and the Detroit schools plan, there's actually a lot we could talk about here today. Let me get your take on the results of the M-STEP test, which were released yesterday. This is the first statewide results from the first set of testing from last spring.
Yep. And appreciate that. And first, I just want to note, I know you were hoping to have our great new superintendent, Brian Whiston, on this morning, and his son was tragically killed a few days ago in a car accident. And so our hearts and our thoughts are with Brian and his family in this tough time.
Indeed.
The M-STEP, yes, we did rejigger our tests. It incorporates the new higher, more rigorous learning expectations in math and language arts that we've adopted in Michigan. So it's not surprising, and it's to be expected that as we introduce some more rigorous and more focused learning standards, that we're going to see the test results start low, but folks are going to respond and be able to help us move the needle. You know, the first step to improving learning outcomes is to set high standards, and these new standards are more focused. They support critical thinking and in-depth thinking. But, you know, the second step is we've got to provide the help to our educators to support them and to train the teachers and help them deliver on these new learning expectations. But it's an important step forward. We will see improvement. I know Michigan educators are up to the challenge of helping all our young people master the content that is expected in this 21st century economy.
Just to give a little thumbnail sketch of what we learned here, I mean, the proficiency rates dropped in math for most grade levels, and Superintendent Whiston's office suggested that nonetheless, the scores overall were higher than they expected. In every grade tested, less than half of the students achieved proficiency in math. Third graders faring the best at 49%. But
we've been focusing on high standards and expectations for some time. We can't really compare these results to what came prior, but it is encouraging that the hard work in terms of delivering very impressive content, you know, has been underway in Michigan for a while, and I think we'll see continued forward movement. But again, we do need to rejigger how we support and finance education so that we can provide more help and training and professional development for educators as we ask them to help our kids learn what they need to learn.
Earlier this week, you issued what sounded like an urgent call to step up efforts to deal with school bullying. Why did you issue that call? What's going on?
Well, we see in this MSU survey of students, as well as they summarized some of the national survey work, that shows, you know, still a quarter of our high school students reported being bullied on school property during the last 12 months. And you know, bullying can not only hurt people, it can end lives. You know, we had testimony from a young woman, Brittany Barnes, at the press conference, who's a Lincoln High School junior. You know, she had been tormented for her looks, and her school had asked her to, you know, put her name on a list. And she was ready to commit suicide because they didn't do anything when she put her name on the list. It wasn't until a peer intervened and said, you've got to pay attention to this person. And so while we have, for some years, asked our school districts to implement model bullying policies, that there are programs and ways to educate the kids and to educate the faculty about how we can mediate and support a different culture, different culture can be created. I mean, many schools have put in place a set of expectations and a real work together with their young people to say, hey, we just don't do bullying here. It's not acceptable. And we need to continue that path. The legislation that passed that did put some teeth into our anti-bullying expectation from the state board in 2011, it still didn't require mandatory reporting, so many schools don't take it seriously because they aren't held accountable for whether their kids are being bullied or not.
Is that the way forward here? I mean, I'm told the report offers recommendations. Is that one of them?
I think that's one step. And we also, I mean, kids are bullied because they're different. Often it's the LGBT kids. Often it's the minority kids. Often it's kids who have a different look, feel. And so we need to help implement the kind of effective programs that are out there that schools can engage with, and that requires additional resources to spread these programs. But it really starts with the adults not accepting kids will be kids and we didn't worry about bullying and this is just norm. No, we can evolve and grow as a society. We don't have to expect Lord of the Flies behavior and leave it at that, because this is really a big problem and we need to be much more aggressive in attending to it so that our kids can learn, and we're sending the message as a state that we value all of our kids and we want them to be supported and to thrive. And when still a quarter of our kids are being bullied, or on this big convening sample that the MSU folks reported, half of the students said that they had still experienced bullying in their schools. And that just can't be accepted because it hurts lives and can even end lives. And we need to be more aggressive in our approach to support all our kids to be valued, be accepted, and to thrive in school and out of school.
John Austin is the president of the State Board of Education here in Michigan. We're talking about various topics relating to education here in our state. We heard various responses today and late yesterday from legislators responding to Governor Snyder's plan for Detroit schools. That plan asks the state for $715 million over 10 years to pay off debt. Broadly, Mr. Austin, what do you think of the governor's plan?
We really need to applaud the governor for his leadership and putting together, on balance, a very important and needed plan. We have to persuade our legislators to help with it. I mean, two major features of it that are terrific is, one, setting up a commission and some new governance of the Detroit schools, both traditional charter and the EAA, can bring some order to the chaos down there and can manage a network of quality schools, whatever type they are, and do a lot better, saying we need schools here, we need schools here, not have the opening, closing, and really chaotic landscape that this has been created in Detroit. And we need to make sure all our schools succeed, and if they're not, we need to fix them and replace them. And there's a way forward in this plan to help do that. Could be a model for other big communities around the state. The other is, we got to help Detroit get on a solid financial footing for the long haul, and the state's got to step up and pay off the debt that is really the state's debt. They've been managing the Detroit schools for the last 8 or so years, and this big debt load has been incurred by the state, and it's only going to get bigger unless we can find a way to pay it off.
Does the state's mismanagement exceed the mismanagement of local administrators who have served in Detroit schools over the years?
Well, we need to, the third feature of the bill, and what I think we need to encourage some change in the governor's proposal, is we do have to return accountability for the Detroit schools to folks who are elected by Detroiters. And I think the mayor is clearly elected by Detroiters and willing to step up, and having him appoint the majority of this commission that's going to sort of provide quality control, as well as the rebooted DPS board, that would be the right way. Just takes that issue of who is the state keep controlling and taking over our schools off the table. I think we can trust this mayor to make good decisions and manage. We can also, put in some checks if down the road the Detroit schools under local political accountable leadership are not managing them well. There could be a quality control criteria that, hey, we'll take them back if Kwame Kilpatrick were to come back or something like that. But we need to restore political accountability to folks elected by Detroiters to take this state control issue off the table, and that's real important.
But you assign some blame to the state's period of management of Detroit schools. Isn't there plenty of blame to go around? Economic factors in play as well.
No one has succeeded to date at managing the Detroit schools successfully. It doesn't inspire a lot of confidence to continue with sort of a state-managed system when, the well-intentioned effort with the EAA to start a state turnaround district in Detroit clearly has gone wrong. So it would be a boost to the support for this plan from the citizens of Detroit to make, and also I think reassuring if we had politically elected by the people be the governance of this rebooted governance model, which, as I said, can be very powerful and is very much needed, so that we're having one oversight body that's accountable to the people of Detroit, ideally through the mayor, and move quickly to an elected board that looks at and manages all public schools for Detroit kids, because this marketplace of the EAA and charter schools, many of which aren't good quality, that are competing with kids with DPS, is unsustainable financially, and it's not working to educate kids.
Charter school proponents are complaining that the governor's plan doesn't allow enough of a role for charters in Detroit's turnaround. They point to successful charters in the city. Do they have a point?
There are successful charters, but also there's lots of mediocre and bad charters that have opened up. The legislature a few years ago lifted the cap on charters without any quality control. When we open new schools to compete with tax dollars to educate kids, we should at least make sure that bad charter operators who don't educate kids aren't able to open new ones, but that's what we've seen. So we need to bring some sanity to this chaos of this marketplace that is not managed to ensure that schools that are quality get to succeed or get to continue. Schools that aren't are shut down or replaced by good schools, whether they're charter or DPS. And that can be done under this proposal. And that's really important for us to do across the state, not just in Detroit, but let's start in Detroit.
John Austin, president of the State Board of Education for Michigan, is our guest on WKAR's Current State. Governor Snyder is expected soon to sign a new measure into law with new evaluation standards for Michigan teachers. It'll reduce the importance of student growth and test scores on teacher evaluations. This was a long, arduous process. Share with us your thoughts on this new teacher evaluation formula.
It's two-thirds of what it needs, of what it should be. It's certainly better than what we're left with. People need to understand, four years ago now, we passed a rather significant tenure reform, which basically said, if you want to start teaching and if you want to keep teaching, you're going to have to demonstrate that you're an excellent teacher and you're going to keep your job. And the key to that was having an evaluation process everywhere in Michigan that was both fair and supportive of helping teachers improve their teaching, but was responsible in how it evaluated teachers. And the commission that the governor appointed did a great job. It recommended a variety of model frameworks to evaluate teachers that, yes, include student growth, but also include trained observers and protocols for how you assess teachers. The teachers' unions like this because it could help them improve their teaching. The bill ultimately, last year we had a strong bipartisan support for that kind of implementation. Let's implement these statewide model ways to evaluate teachers that are fair and supportive of better teaching. The bill watered that down a bit, unfortunately.
Should the governor sign it or not?
I think given where we are, we have to put in place a consistent expectation of how we evaluate teachers. The bill doesn't require the use of the best programs, but given that the Department of Education, our department, and all of us are going to only help with and finance, and most school districts are going to embrace, if they haven't already, one of the model ways to observe and evaluate teachers. It's more than half a loaf, and it's certainly better than than everybody evaluating teachers any way they want, which includes, you know, some that aren't going to do it well and do it on the whims of an administrator. So we need to put this in place, and he should sign the law.
A rich array of topics here. We've been hearing from John Austin, president of the State Board of Education in Michigan. Thanks for your time.
Thank you, Mark.